It's time for high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, online at WKHM.com. Our live coverage of the 2020 season is brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain. Additional sponsors include Trips Auto Shop and Trip Ceramic Pro, Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, the Jim Winter Auto Group, Grimes Plumbing, County National Bank, HB Fuller, American Title Company, the Shamrock Bar, Fuller's ChemDry, OmniSource, the Sykes Group and Morgan Stanley, the Jackson YMCA, Spring Arbor Lumber and Home Center, Avenue Auto, Seymour Ford Lincoln, Abel Heating and Cooling, and the Kraft Agency. High school football on WKHM.
The white versus the red. Jackson, of course, in the SEC white division. And Monroe, the Trojans, tonight visiting. And they are in the SEC red division. First, I want to thank a couple of extra sponsors here. Community Hearing Center. Janko Boot Shop. I got a story for a Janko Boot Shop that I always tell. And I'll tell it in a minute. But Lambert's Heating and Air Conditioning, Penn Chiropractic Center, Meridian Wealth Management, the Grace Group. Of course, our pregame here is brought to you by Grimes Plumbing. And we appreciate them being on board. So thank you to Grimes. And as we get into the pregame here, our weather fantastic again, Brian. 2 weeks in a row, and we've got nothing but great weather here at Jackson High.
I don't know if that's us bringing the weather. Is that just us, like it follows us because we're such great guys, or is this just happenstance?
I think it's just the time of the year. But, you know, thinking about it, high school football sometimes gets associated with colder weather. And, gosh, even here we are, this would have been technically week five of the season, and it hasn't been even chilly for these overnights on a Friday night under the lights. But they haven't even really needed the lights that much, now that I think about it. But
we have the sun blaring at us. You even had my sunglasses here today.
Yeah, the sun is blaring at us. We'll look forward to that dipping below the trees. If you've ever sat in the stands here at Withington Stadium, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about on the opposite side, the visiting bleachers, with a pretty good turnout for Monroe folks who made the trip. Of course, 2 tickets per student. And the Jackson sideline starting to fill up to a good amount. We'll have a little crowd noise here tonight, and that's always fun as we get into these high school broadcasts. And let's take a look at these two teams here in the pregame. Jackson, 1-0. We were there for the game last week. Dorian Riley Show, 321 yards, 6 TDs for Riley. That's kind of the official tally.
Yeah, Dorian was something special. And we talked about it probably too much last week, but it felt like it was warranted because he just made special play after special play and just carved up the Tecumseh defense.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of wanted to maybe recalibrate and say, is he as good as he looked? Is there something to say about the Tecumseh defense? Maybe not that great against the run. So I'm glad to get a chance to come today and see if Monroe can offer up any better roadblock for Dorian Riley and run it wild. But I'm anticipating that the answer to that is no. I think he's going to go nuts tonight, and so he'll be a featured part of our broadcast, no doubt.
Yeah, and I don't care who you're playing. When you have 350 yards and, did you say 6 touchdowns?
6 TDs, yeah.
6 touchdowns, that's special.
Yeah, that's very special. Yeah, no matter who you do it against, you know, there's sometimes people take heat for getting wins against teams that aren't maybe the best around, and you got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. So when you beat up on a team that's maybe not quite your equal, that's what you're there to do. You got to.
Whereas tonight, Steve, I think we're going to see a much closer, evenly matched game. Monroe coming off a playoff appearance last year, and talking to some of my, I'll just call them my people. I have people.
You have contacts.
Yeah, I have contacts. I have people. Talking to some of them, they said tonight should be a great game, closely contested, and actually one of past coach said it will. Can Monroe tackle Riley?
Yeah, that's I feel like that's going to be the question mark for anybody who plays Jackson at this point. We mentioned the QB Bozeman was actually a pretty good threat out of the backfield himself, running the ball a couple times last week, but will he be able to throw? And that's what Monroe's going to have to try to figure out, too, or make him prove that he could throw the football if they could stifle the run at all.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Monroe coming off a game with Pinckney where they had 5 interceptions,
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a lot of interceptions. So, as far as making Bozeman throw, that might be right in the Monroe wheelhouse to try to make them throw if they have ball hawks like that.
Yeah, these two teams met back in 2018, September 7th, 2018, a game Jackson won 27-20. And, of course, we mentioned Monroe with the win last week, overtime, 26-20. They got the win at Pinckney. So a couple things to look. Of course, we think Monroe is going to be maybe a tougher opponent for Jackson than Tecumseh ended up being, but also kind of a common opponent situation. Jackson's going to go play Pinckney next week, so this is a chance for them to kind of see where they stack up against Pinckney as well. You know, seeing how they perform against this Monroe team. All we know is Jackson really performed well against Tecumseh. Really clean first half. Really put themselves way ahead. And then second half got a little sloppy, so I'm sure they worked on that in practice this week.
Yeah, and by sloppiness, the thing that you're definitely talking about was just the quarterback-center exchange, whether it was always in shotgun, but just, again, we didn't know whether there was a couple bad snaps and a couple bad ball
right.
handling things by Bozeman, so we'll see if they worked on that and got that under control.
We're here on the pregame Jackson High hosting Monroe tonight on WKHM. Our pregame brought to you by Grimes Plumbing. You never know when you'll need a plumber. But when you do, Grimes Plumbing is there for you online at grimescompany.com. 2 minute break, and we'll come back with more pregame on WKHM and online at WKHM.com.
Now, back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes here in the booth at Jackson High. Keith Richards back in the studio, our executive producer tonight, and our pregame show brought to you by Grimes Plumbing. Every touchdown tonight will be brought to you by Aspen 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. We look forward to that. And, of course, our title sponsor tonight, Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. Jackson up to a 1-0 start. They'll look to get to 2-0 tonight. And our, I don't know, I think they're coming in a little bit of a favorite, if for no other reason than they got their home field. And they're comfortable here. And Dorian Riley, somebody's going to, I don't believe he can be stopped until I see somebody do it, you know.
We'll see if Monroe is up to that task. It's a tall task.
And we're going to get ready for the game. The kickoff coming up here shortly. We'll get the anthem here in the Withington Stadium, Tony Dungy Field. So let's take another 2 minutes here on the pregame. When we come back, we'll get a kickoff. It's the Jackson High Vikings and the Monroe Trojans here on WKHM and online around the world at WKHM.com.
Now, back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, as the kick return team takes the field for the Vikings. Of course, those familiar black and orange helmets. Uniforms mostly black and white. I think there's a little highlight of some orange on the shoulders, but for the most part, black and white. Menacing jerseys for the Vikings. Some guys have orange shoes on.
It did. I said it earlier in pregame for our listeners, just to kind of paint them a little picture.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Monroe kind of has a NC State look about him with red pants, white jerseys, and feel like Jackson kind of a little Cincinnati look to him.
Yeah, a little Bearcat-esque for the Vikings tonight. And they will receive, as we mentioned, to start. Monroe out to kick, lined up on their 35. Jackson with a return team back on the 10. Three guys back to return, including Riley. Also back there is the speedy Michael Kirby. And the kick is going to be a low liner right down the middle. It's going to bounce at the 20, picked up at the 15 by Kirby, and he runs it to the right side, looking to get to the sideline, turn it upfield, tiptoeing the sideline at the 40-yard line before he can't keep his balance and has to jump out of bounds. But a good starting field position for the Vikings tonight on the kick return there.
A nice little run back by Michael Kirby.
And he did. I mean, worth it for about 3 yards to bounce his way out to about the 43 before he stepped out of bounds. So Jackson will take it there as the offense comes out. A lot of running. I think we saw 3 pass attempts maybe in the game last week, and one of those ended up being intercepted for a 99-yard return.
Yep, Bozeman did look like he had a good arm, too.
Yeah, really a gun. If anything, he threw it too hard. He goes with the pistol formation. Riley lined up right behind Bozeman, and he'll take the give on first down. No, it's a QB keep. Kind of a read option fake. Bozeman keeps, dives down to the 45, but a flag comes out, and it's likely going to be a false start. And that is what the call is. So the Vikings lose 5 right away, and it'll be 1st and 15.
And Monroe coming out, definitely a contrast to what we saw last week with Tecumseh, who only played with 3 down linemen. And again, basically, I know they're defensive backs, but coming up looking like 5 linebackers. Tecumseh going with 4, more of a 4-3.
Yep, kind of a 4-3 set, but as you said, safeties are up in the box, and they give to Riley, and he's met right at the 40. He pounds through the line, does get about 2 with forward progress, but he's met, and that was quite a collision there at the line.
Yeah, that's, I couldn't quite see. Like we said, we have some sun in our eyes. Looked like number 61 for Monroe.
Yeah, he's a big cross body Jacobs. Up there on the line.
Senior Cross Jacobs.
So 2nd down, call it 13 for the Vikings on their own 40-yard line. Out of the shotgun here, Bozeman's going to throw on 2nd down, and it's caught at the 45. Nice completion there to, I think we've got number 23, Jaden Brown, on the catch.
Yeah, Jaden Brown. Again, Bozeman right there showing some zip on that ball. I mean, that got to him in a hurry, just 5 yards down, and Monroe guy's there to make the tackle quickly, but Bozeman showing that he's not just a runner.
Yeah, and as we kind of said it, we thought they might want to try to force Jackson to go to the air, and now Monroe's not going to know what to expect because the pass and the run are both on the table here in the playbook. 3rd down and 8 for Jackson from their own 45. Riley in motion on the sweep, takes the give up to the left side. He's got a chance at the first down marker. I know he tiptoes out of bounds just inside Monroe territory. He's going to be about a yard shy of that first down. And I would expect a 4th down play here for Jackson. They actually put him out of bounds right at the 50, so they got to get about 3 more yards.
Yeah, kind of like NFL, unlike NFL, where this would probably be an automatic punt situation or something. In high school, you know, we talked last week about high school punters, and you just don't gain a lot. So kind of the numbers would show that, especially you have a back like Riley, go ahead and take your chances, roll the dice, give it to him, and even if you don't make it, you know, what are you gaining on a punt?
Or even, you know, knowing that they're going to look for Riley, play action becomes a lot more valuable. Bozeman in the shotgun. Riley's back there with him. 2 wideouts, and they give it to Riley. And the Monroe defense is right there to meet him. He's going to lose probably 2 on the play, and Monroe will take over in Jackson territory at the 48-yard line.
The difference between what we saw last week and this week, too, is Monroe really looking like they've moved back Jackson's line. You know, they're hitting Riley in the backfield. We didn't see that from Tecumseh last week.
No, that was a nice push by the Monroe defense. Probably they lose a yard from that based on just kind of a slow exchange between the QB and running back, kind of a delayed handoff, and that gave Monroe time to really seal off the line. They've got the ball now, and they're on the field. Out of a shotgun formation here for Tecumseh. And that's a QB keep read option there. He puts it in the running back's belly and then keeps, and that is quarterback Jacob Blosser, senior, 5'11", from Monroe.
Looks like we have a Monroe player down. Kale Head.
And, real slow to get up here. It looks like he's holding his ankle. It's almost one of the few times where you can kind of clearly see what's hurt on the kid.
Yeah, he definitely has ankle up there in his hands.
And I feel like anybody who played high school sports for any length of time eventually gets an ankle injury. And there's different levels of it. So he may be able to play on it, or this could be something that keeps him out for the game. So he's still down on the field. Let's take a 30-second break, and we'll come back to Jackson High. Right now, 0-0 with 9:51 to go first quarter on WKHM.
You've been listening to High School Football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM. Brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain. For a schedule of future games and an archive of previous broadcasts, visit WKHM.com.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, and the player is up, but he's getting off with the assistance of a couple of the staff from the sideline. So he would be a questionable to return. Again, that senior quarterback. Well, he's listed at QB and linebacker, Kale Head.
But he's
If he's QB, he's backup QB.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess that's the disadvantage of us not really getting to see a lot of Monroe football.
Second down at about 5 here for the Trojans, and that's going to be a give up the middle. Finding some running room and staying on his feet to the marker. Kind of a dive up the middle, and he worked his way to the right side of the field, twisted down just past the first down marker, inside the 40, down to about the 37. And a first and 10 for Monroe.
Looks like that was Tristan Panza carrying the ball for Monroe.
They're lined back up against shotgun formation. And they have a receiver in motion. He gives to the running back again. Rushes off first contact. Second hit, doesn't get him down. He gets past the marker again, battling his way down to the 25. Tristan Panza again with some tough yardage for Monroe. And now we have a Jackson player down on the field, slow to get up. And they pulled his helmet off. So the training staff for the Vikings heads back out to the field. Michelle Winters, the trainer out here at Jackson High, attending to another player. Our first quarter of the game brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. They open drains, others can't. They are our title sponsor for high school football, and they've really been a fantastic supporter of all of our high school sports coverage, from basketball to baseball to hockey to whatever. So a big thank you to Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. And again, they open drains, others can't. So why mess with anybody else? Get the ones who can do it, you know?
And, you know, it's nice for these local businesses to sponsor the high school athletics and stuff. And I hope all listeners out there kind of hear that and, you know, go into the stores that are sponsoring these young men.
Most certainly. And, you know, you hear them here on the broadcast. But also, you know, that they're probably supporting those schools in other ways, too, through whether it's, you know, providing lunches for whatever stuff they do and field trips and support for drives and different kind of fundraisers that those schools have. So, yeah, you can usually assume a little extra help from those guys that maybe doesn't necessarily end up on the radio. So our injured player gets off the field under his own power, it looks like. And we're back to first and 10 for Monroe. And there's a fake handoff. QB keeper, and he's up the middle. Slashes through the line, up the right side, and into the end zone. Untouched for 15 yards there for quarterback for Monroe. That is Jacob Blosser, senior. And he's into the end zone.
Yeah, and I feel kind of like Bozeman last week getting some runs by everybody keying on Riley. Well, I feel like after two nice, really nice runs by Tristan Panza, Blosser kind of is the beneficiary of that. Nobody kind of paying attention and good ball handling.
And you know, that's that kind of misdirection that a defense maybe figures out after seeing it a couple times and starts to get a little better at it. But Monroe able to take advantage early. They're in the end zone, 6-0 lead, and they'll come out to kick with 8:46 to go first quarter. Kick is up, looks good here, and the officials agree, it's 7-0. Monroe scores first. Back in 30 seconds at WKHM and WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes, and Monroe on the board first, 7-0 lead. Quick glance at the out-of-town scoreboard shows us that Penfield has a one-point advantage over Western in the first quarter. Still 10:14 to go in the first, and it's 8-7. We have 8:46 to go, and we just have it our first score. So quick back and forth on the offense over on Deering Road.
Yeah, I guess the difference is right now 18% of the plays the trainers have had to come out with this game.
It's a quick percentage. Kickoff is fielded at the 15 and breaks a tackle. Kirby still on his feet, spins away from another tackler. He's out to the 30, loses the football. Monroe says they have it. Waiting for an official signal, but the Trojans are pretty emphatic that they came up with the football. It looks like we still have some players riding around trying to steal it away, and I think there was a signal, and it is. Monroe gets the fumble recovery And I got to say, because Michael Kirby was just working to stay on his feet, and really the extra effort won't be rewarded. He'll lose the football, but that happens sometimes when you're maybe doing more than you should.
You know, that's that fine line. You're working for those extra yards, but somebody's holding you up, and while that's happening, somebody came in and popped the ball out of his hands, and you see that often fighting for those extra yards.
The way he's getting swung around, that centrifugal force just pulled his arms out, and then, like you said, the big fist comes through and knocks the ball loose. And Monroe wastes no time. They're out at the Jackson High 30 on a first down, and we get a flag. It's going to go against Jackson, and it looks like too many men on the field. So we'll walk off a quick penalty, and the Vikings backs against the wall, trailing 7-0 already, and they don't need to give Tecumseh any, or excuse me, Monroe any help down at the 25.
I think I'm going to flag you for using too many physics terms, too, with this centrifugal force.
It's probably not even the right term, but... And on first down and 5, they hand off to the... You get the wide, the wing, excuse me, coming across on the sweep, and it's Garrett Lewis who takes the handoff. He's going to get about 2 on the play, 2nd down and 3 here for the Trojans.
Looks like he was tackled by 15, Garrett Ennis, the senior, who I hear has some college interest in him as well.
Yeah, he's had some offers. He's mulling them over, we heard. Our insider, one of your people. The snap goes a little high to the QB, but he pulls it down, holds on to it, and he's going to get through the line, and the pile falls forward to about the 15. So again, Jacob Blosser getting it done with the legs, and hasn't, I don't believe they've gone to the air yet, Monroe.
No, and right now it seems like any pile of people is going an extra 2 or 3 yards Monroe's way this week. Jackson seemed to be moving the pile last week. Right now, this pile is always favoring the Monroe side.
So on the 15, first and 10 for Monroe. Shotgun. And there's some movement on the line early, and I think that's going to be an offside against Jackson, though, and the Vikings continue to start this game with a few miscues, kind of giving Monroe, this is 10 yards so far that they've helped him out with.
That was Marcus Hoskins over. Got to watch the ball.
And there's a give this time to Panza, and again he's able to stay on his feet from the tackle, continues to fight for yards, inside the 5, down to the 3. It's taking a war party of Vikings every time to tackle Panza whenever he's got the football. And I can't quite, he looks like, it's almost like he's got one of those big Mike Allstott neck rolls. And he might not, just those high shoulder pads. It's a clear sign of a tough runner. And we'll get a whistling the play, Dad, but the action had kind of started. It was a handoff to Carson DeSerrano, and he was brought down. Tough solo tackle there. As we were just saying, they need multiple guys to bring people down. Dale Dangler didn't need any help there, but the tackle won't count. We'll see what the penalty flag is for.
It's good to see Dangler back out on the field. He was one of the injured Vikings coming out, kind of holding his shoulder in the last series, but he's back out there.
So they'll pick that flag up. No penalty on the play, first and goal for Monroe from the Jackson 3-yard line. Big formation here. And they run basically the same play, and Jackson likewise able to get to it, and Dangler was ready for it this time, and they bring him down for a loss. A flag comes in late, and I'm not quite sure what that's going to be for.
Well, it looks like Carson DeSerrano's helmet came off, so I don't know if they got him with the face mask.
They did. And so that'll be a half the distance to the goal line penalty for the Vikings, and making it easy. As easy as you can on Monroe, though that was a nice tackle on the play.
That was a great tackle.
If you can grab them by the face mask, they go down easier.
You know, I feel, though, like that's one of those things that's, you know, I don't think he was reaching out for the face mask to, you know, he just stick your hand out there. And
yeah, and if you tackle him high, there's a chance you're going to hit that face mask. And even if you don't grab it, sometimes it looks like you did. Out of the shotgun this time. And it's a QB keep, and he's able to drag a guy into the end zone. So once again, Jacob Losser holds on to it into the end zone. Touchdown Monroe, and 13-0 get the extra point squad out there. And Jackson starting with a quick deficit here. The turnover on the kick return. And the defense under pressure here early. Now they've started both possessions that they've had so far in Jackson territory.
Yeah, that's not a good recipe, especially for a team with Monroe's offensive line. The push they're getting has been phenomenal.
And the extra point attempt is up and good. And 14-0, Monroe out to a quick lead. 6:04 to go, first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. We'll take a 30-second break and back with the kickoff on WKHM and WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
14-0, Monroe gets out to a big lead, capitalizing on a turnover. We got a couple of out-of-town scores, courtesy of Greg O'Connor. Williamson leads 6-0 over St. John's. DeWitt 14-7 lead over Grand Ledge. And, of course, we heard another game in town here. We had an early score, 8-7. Penfield was leading Western very early in that first quarter. And their kickoff is up. And this time, Riley's going to take it at about the 10. Working to the right side. Now a cut. And he's going to get brought down. Good job by the kick team there by Monroe, the kick coverage team. And that wasn't Riley. That was Detrick Reed who'd been inserted to return for Jackson.
Yeah, good original hit by number 10, Landon Stifler for Monroe.
Stifler.
I think he was assisted by his friend Finch.
I didn't see that name on the roster, but we'll go. Landon Stifler. With 5:58 to go here in the first, it's 14-0. Monroe Jackson talking things over on the sideline here, sending the offense out. And they, you know, if nothing else, Brian, a score here obviously makes things look a lot better for Jackson, but what they really need to do is kind of flop the field position here and get things happening down on the other end of the field so they can make Monroe work a little more. And I think we end up with a penalty, and Jackson's actually going to start now on the 11-yard line. They're deep in their own territory. They spread it out here. The Bozeman in the backfield gives to Riley. Nice cut in the backfield, but he doesn't get much yardage, and he makes those cuts against Tecumseh. A week ago, he's making that cut 3 yards down the field. Here, he's making it in the backfield because the Monroe defense is just getting themselves back there.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, and you know, and I thought, well, Jackson just needs to stick to their game plan, you know, heavy dose of Riley, but you might have to do some kind of play action or something to kind of get these Monroe's run blitzes. I just think they're sending people through the gaps and getting there early.
Bozeman with three wide, gives to Riley again. This time he's got a big hole, and he doesn't miss it. Through the line, out to the 20, to the 21. And there was a great play call executed to perfection by the Jackson Viking line. They gave Dorian Riley all the space he needed, and he did not miss it. He gets out to the 21, and it's third down and maybe 6 inches.
And here's where I think if you're Jackson, you don't get too cute. You have 1 yard. I got to believe Riley can pick that up.
They go out of the pistol, and Bozeman fakes to Riley, keeps. He's got the first down yardage and a little more. He dives over the 25 to the 27. The ball's loose, and Monroe wants to say they've got it, and I tend to agree with the Jackson faithful here that he was down before the ball came loose, and that looks like what the officials are saying too.
I think that's a good call. I know that is where we're so spoiled. We're used to seeing replay and everything, and it's easy to see on replay. For these high school officials, you know, if you happen to get blocked and that's your responsibility, that sometimes can be a tough call.
Yep, they get one try and that's it. And so first and 10 for the Vikings now at their own 27. Really getting better running lanes so far on this drive. Out of the shotgun again, Bozeman with four wide, Riley in the backfield, just a step behind him. The give is to Riley, and he is able to get a couple yards. He dives forward at the 30, maybe to the 31. But like you mentioned, Brian, they are kind of sending rumblets, and you can see that Monroe had Tayshawn Nichols in the backfield because they're just kind of sending those guys, shooting those gaps.
Yeah, yep. You can see, you can watch it here. you can see all three linebackers are just kind of picking their hole where they're going to just pretty much bring in a run blitz every single play at the moment. Nobody back for Monroe.
Spread formation here for the Vikings, and Bozeman's going to fake to Riley, keep it, and he'll get over the 35 to the 36. And that's going to be a one-yard need to get to the first down marker, but we got another flag coming out late. And that's going to go against Monroe. So the Vikings getting a little help. Maybe Monroe felt bad about taking all those penalties on offense. They want to give something back.
And you know, the referee didn't signal for this, but I thought I did see Bozeman's helmet kind of go sideways. Like maybe that's a little face mask as well.
Yeah, it looked like maybe a little late contact or something, but because that is going to be quite the penalty movement. Is it going to get them into Monroe territory at the 49? The no huddle. Jackson stays on the field. Two receivers to the right for Bozeman and Riley in the backfield. And Riley takes it, steps up the middle.
Oh,
he kind of left his feet at about the 45, and there's a defender right there that put him down hard. But Riley, of course, pops right back up unfazed. But a nice hit.
Yeah, if you're going to have a head-on collision with Riley, him leaving his feet, I guess, is the best thing for you. And that was defensive back Carson Deserano. Which, boy, you look at Monroe's defense, there is nobody outside of even 7 yards from the line of scrimmage. There's just nobody back.
And there's another give to Riley off tackle. Gets to the sideline, turns it upfield. And there's a hit that sends him down at about the 32. But not before he rattles up about 15 yards and another flag comes in. And I think that's going to go against Monroe again. And I got to tell you, Brian, the player that tackled him, I didn't even see him there. It looked like it was clear sailing for Riley. And he just kind of emerged from behind the Vikings bench.
Yeah, that was Billingsley from Monroe. And you're right. He was. I didn't even know there was somebody there all of a sudden. I don't think Riley knew somebody right there.
Right.
Because it kind of caught him off guard. But it was a decleater hit.
It did.
Riley, and that takes some force to knock Riley off his feet like that.
Well, and I think part of it was Riley's momentum was kind of in a sideways motion, so he was already just caught him right in between strides and took him down. But again, Riley definitely finding more running room here on this possession with 2:37 to go first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. And Jackson is driving out of the pistol for Bozeman. Fakes to Riley, keeps. And the defense in the backfield, and not really a lot of contact, but Bozeman trying to avoid the tackler, loses his footing, and he's going to go down for a short loss for the Vikings.
Yeah, that's number 32. I don't have a 32 on our program, so I would give credit to that hit, but I'm not sure who I'm going to give credit to.
But a nice job to get penetration there on the defense. And Bozeman, it looked like he might have been kind of setting up to throw a pass there. This time he gives to Riley off tackle. He's getting to the edge, and he'll turn it upfield. He's got the first down marker in sight, and he goes out of bounds, maybe a half a yard shy of the marker, but another good run for Dorian Riley on this drive and gets Jackson right back where they want to be with the that first down marker in sight.
Yeah, this drive, it looks like the Jackson front linemen are kind of getting a little better push on Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Monroe not meeting Riley 2 yards back and back from the line of scrimmage this drive.
So it's third down at about 2 here for Jackson. Bozeman with Riley behind him. And a little low snap. Riley gets it, and he's off to the races again. Turn it up all the way to the sideline before he can turn toward the goal line. Sideways running, but little by little he's gaining. Gets all the way down to the 10. That's going to be about 12 yards on the carry. A flag comes in late again. And as little as we saw laundry on the field in the first half last week, this week it seems either someone's injured or the flag comes out. And now they'll pick it up.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, good news.
They're just letting us know they had him. They're ready to throw. Yeah, that tackle, that time made by Tristan Panza. And I noticed Monroe has quite a few guys playing both ways, which, you know, that's we'll see how that affects them there in the second half.
Most certainly. First and 10 for the Vikings. And there's a cloud of dust. Something happened on the field. And it, I believe it was Riley on the carry. It doesn't have anywhere to go there, though, and it'll bring up second down and 10 from the Viking 12-yard line. Or from, yeah.
That's from funny the Monroe that you said that, because I could not tell whether Bozeman had it or Riley, and the play's over, and I still don't know who had that.
All I, the only clue I had, I guess, was when Riley got up, he was holding the football.
That's usually
that's usually
sign.
The guy who had it most of the time. So second down, they can still get a first down, it looks like, here on the center of the field. And there's movement from offside against Monroe. That is the call. Scores coming in like wildfire here from GOC, as we got Mason 7-3 lead over Eaton Rapids early. Clarkston 13-0 lead over Oxford. Granville 32, East Kentwood 28 at the half. And right now Lumen leading their opponent 7-0.
GOC is pretty amazing at getting those scores.
You know, he's got a... You have people, he's got a lot of people. Give to Riley here on second down and lost the ball in the backfield. And Monroe looks like they got to it first. And we can't go by what the players are saying because they're all pointing that they have it. Oh, the Monroe players leaving the field, and they did pick up the fumble. So Jackson will come away without a score again. However, they did flip the field position. Monroe will have to start deep in their own territory. That'll help the defense out. But with just 2.6 to go in the Minuteman Sewer and Drain cleaning first quarter, Jackson trails 14-0 and gives up the ball on the turnover. Monroe's going to have a chance to make it a three-score advantage.
Well, we said in the pregame that Monroe last week against Pinckney was on the good side of six turnovers. They had five interceptions and a fumble recovery. And sometimes you think that's just kind of the luck of the way the ball goes, but there are other teams that pay a lot of attention to, you know, poking the ball out. And maybe Monroe, maybe that's their specialty here.
It's paid off so far early. First and 10 for them from their own 10. And there's a give to Panza. Bounces it out to the right side. Now turns it upfield at the 15. Hit there. Dives ahead to about the 17 before he's stopped. And that'll make it second down and short. Lumen Christie hosting Hastings tonight. And they're out to a 7-0 lead. Of course, Lumen Christie in danger of a loss last week, able to come back and win ultimately. But after one quarter of action here, Jackson will need a comeback. They trail 14-0. 1 minute break, and we're back with the second quarter on WKHM and WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes ready for the second quarter here. Jackson High, the Vikings trail the Monroe Trojans 14-0. Heard from Janko Boots out there in the break. I told you I had a story. I bought a pair of boots there probably it's 3-4 years ago now. I don't know if I'll ever buy another pair of boots there again. I don't know if these will ever wear out. They're still in such great shape and so comfortable. They're still like new, and I love them. I would recommend Janko Boot Shop to anybody without hesitation.
Is it like kind of a cowboy boot?
It's like a work boot, okay. But it's a winter boot too, so waterproof. As Monroe takes it on second down and short, running kind of a jet sweep, and Jackson able to snuff that play out before it even got started. And the ball carrier on the sweep there was Raymond Anderson. And he goes nowhere, probably lost a yard. It's third down now and about two with the Trojans at their own 18.
Yeah, that one was sniffed out by Brennan Blood for Jackson High.
And third and short. And there's a runner in motion again, and this time it's a keep. And the QB gets to the edge. He's got a foot race. There are three Vikings with a shot at him. 40, 30 into the Viking territory. Sidesteps the guy. He's all the way down to the Jackson 20. Jacob Blosser. He just little play action fake to the running back, or not even the running back, to the sweep player in motion, and then he just took off. He beat one guy, and then just a sprint on the sideline. Jackson thankfully had the speed to catch him, but what all the work that the Jackson offense did to get some field position for their defense, one play changes everything. Now it's first and 10 for Monroe on the Vikings 20.
That's not the first time Jackson struggled covering that same play.
Blosser out of the shotgun now. Panza in the backfield with him. Runner in motion. It goes to Blosser. He's going to keep it. Follows right behind Panza through the hole. still on his feet, down to about the 15 and maybe to the 14. But again, another nice play, and it's Blosser who handles the rock for the Trojans.
It's blocking tough, young Tristan Panza.
And that just looked like a design run for the quarterback with that lead block from his running back.
Elton John put a song, Blockin' Tough, Young Tristan Panza. Or was that?
Sounds like that. Tristan Panza. Oh, yeah. Close. There's your runner in motion, and the give is to Panza this time, and he gets the guy to follow through the hole. And he's going to get down to about the six-yard line. So what happens is you get Garrett Lewis coming across from the wing in motion. They don't give it to him. They give it to Panza, but Lewis goes right into the hole as that lead block, and Panza followed right behind him. And the spot's not as good as it looked at first, so he's at the eight-yard line. First and goal now, though, for the Trojans.
You're right, and when they're not giving it to Panza, then you have Blosser just kind of running the other way with it, getting people off guard, and it's confusing to Jackson D right now.
Lewis in motion again. They give to Panza the dive, and into the end zone, touchdown Monroe. And very little resistance there from the J-High defense. It's just well blocked, and as much as Panza's going to rack up yardage and Blosser, really, the kudos tonight so far has to go to this Monroe offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a game last week, Jackson-Tecumseh, where we saw something very similar, but it was the opposite as far as it was Jackson getting the push. And now right now, Monroe's pushing Jackson's line around and just getting yardage by the chunk.
So the extra point attempt. Hold is down, kick is up, he's 2 for 2, make it 3 for 3, 21-0 Monroe. The kick off the foot of Norberto Flores Jr. And we will take a 30-second break and come back as Jackson tries to get on the board on WKHM and WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
9:22 to go, first half. High school football here. And three touchdowns for Monroe so far. Our touchdown sponsor, Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, always on time or you don't pay a dime. I think they'd rather be announced when we have some Jackson touchdowns. Kickoff coming from the 40. High end over end down to the 10-yard line. And it's fielded by Kirby. And he's got a little room to run. Cuts through the line of defenders at the 25 down to the 29-yard line.
That time Kirby really covering it with both hands after fumbling two kickoffs ago.
He looks like he's primed to break one at one of these points. He sees the field really well, and he finds a good spot. And I imagine at some point we're going to be calling out Kirby for a big return. With 9:16 to go, 21-0, Jackson goes back to work. And Jackson showed some big plays last week against Tecumseh, but they're not necessarily a team that's running an offense that's set up for huge plays. They want to get chunk and chunk and chunk with their talented running back in Riley, and he has run well and looked good tonight, but it hasn't led to points yet. And the snap's low for Bozeman, and he's in retreat mode. Three guys chasing. He jumps in the air to throw, and I think we're going to get an intentional grounding call there.
Yeah, you know, I hear one of the Jackson fans yelling at the players saying, hey, a little adversity, let's go. And I agree with them. Right now you look at the Jackson players on the sideline, even everybody just kind of quiet, kind of shoulders down. You know, the body language concerns me a little bit.
They need something to energize them. And so we're picking the flag up. That's the third time we've had a flag go down and get picked back up with no penalty call. So Jackson will get it second and 10 from their own 29-yard line. A couple more out-of-town scores. Ida leads Hudson 6-0. Dundee with a 6-0 lead over Onstead. And Hanover, Horton, and Addison in the second quarter right now tied at 0-0. Nice defensive battle in the Cascades Conference there. Shotgun for Bozeman. Two backs with him. And this time he goes to Brown, who kind of cut up into the hole, was stopped, went to try to work it back outside. and nowhere to go there.
Yeah, Brown kind of a change of pace back for Jackson. Not quite the bruiser that Riley is. Brown having some shiftiness to him, but Monroe tackler right there to get him before he could even use any of his moves.
So we're at the 19. It's basically third down and 20 here.
I think
did they end up implementing that penalty
down
after all? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they called him down before. Yeah. So Bozeman with a stiff arm. Defensive player held on, and then another player comes by and steamrolls him. That was a hard hit. Bozeman pops back up, and he's got a bad wheel there for a moment. Looks like he's trying to walk it off, maybe Charlie Horse. But fourth down at about 19 here for Jackson, and the punt squad will come out, and they, with 8:05 to go in the half, and a 21-0 deficit, it's not looking good for the Vikings right now. They're going to have to, like you said, Brian, a lot of what would help them would be something to energize them.
Yep.
A big defensive play, maybe a nice punt here.
I'm not sure we even saw the Jackson punt unit last week. Did they punt, to your knowledge? Do you remember?
I can't recall. They might have. Well, they must have in the second half because they went so long without scoring, but it's hard to recall. There was nothing earth-shattering about the punt game. The punt's going to go away from the 10. It's a nice kick, though. It goes toward the sideline. It's not going to get all the distance it deserved, and the flag comes in late that I think is going to go against Monroe blocking. So we'll see where they spot it here. And it looks like it's going to the 46. And then we'll work whatever this penalty flag is from there.
Well, Jackson could use it being against Monroe. They don't want to let Monroe take over at the 35.
And they'll walk it back from there, so. That's going to be a 15-yarder. So we'll get them back to the 39-yard line. So Monroe goes from starting in Jackson territory to back in their own end of the field.
And if Jackson's going to entertain thoughts of coming back from this 21-0 deficit, it's going to have to start by getting a quick stop here.
Yeah.
Right now Monroe's just getting 6-7 yards of carry or more.
Yeah, Panza and Blosser has been the combo. This time, though, the gives to Lewis on this sweep, and he cuts through the line. Looks like he's got some running room. A nice hit, though, stops him at about 4 or 5 yards. But it's still a pretty good chunk on first down for Monroe out toward midfield. The spot's actually not as good as it looked like it could be, so they'll put it on the 43-yard line.
And I kind of like what Jackson did there. They actually did send a couple linebackers in. Monroe had a good play call for that by giving it to him on the sweep, getting him outside.
Yeah.
But Jackson wasn't going to let Blosser and Panza go up the middle.
And it was Lovemar Hamby on the tackle there. So we get Lewis in motion again. This time they give to Panza. He's got a slew of Vikings on him right from the get-go. He maybe gets a yard, but nothing more. So on second down and 6, he can make it third down and 5. And Jackson in position to be able to get a stop here. This is where you need to make a big defensive stand on third down.
I think that was Sean Smith on the tackle who's coming back to the sidelines.
Grass Lake out to an early 27-0 lead hosting East Jackson tonight. So good start for the Warriors over the Trojans of East Jackson. The Trojans of Monroe here with third down and 5. Lewis in motion. And he doesn't get it, but he gets slammed anyway for his trouble. Blosser kept it. He's going to be close to a first down depending on the spot. So they fake it to Lewis. And a Jackson Viking player came through there like a lightning bolt and really laid a hit on him.
Yeah, that was Dale Dangler. And you want to talk about a run blitz. He came from 8 yards back and
yep.
Timed it perfectly. And had they handed it off, that was going to be a big, big loss. But quarterback keeping it.
So now we've got another Vikings player down on the field here. And the spot does end up short of the first down marker, so it'll be 4th and 1 for Monroe. Let's take 30 seconds and allow this player time to get on his feet. 5:01 to go, first half, 21-0 Monroe. Jackson with a big defensive stand when we return on WKHM and WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Steve Boyle on high school football tonight with Brian Haynes. Our show brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. They open drains, others can't. They'll be with us all season. And here we are, just our second week of high school football. A lot of injuries so far early, at least injury timeout so far, Brian. And I just think it's, to me, it's these guys playing very aggressive tonight. And there's a lot of contact, a lot of effort out there. It's just fun. It's fun to get to see, even though, you know, the negatives of it are the injuries. The effort is unquestionable.
Yeah, there are some hard-hitting plays out there.
And we do get our injured player on his feet for Jackson. That is Lovemar Hamby. And now he's running to the sideline. That's a good sign that he's going to be all right as the Monroe Trojans line up here for this fourth down and one play. And they've shown this big formation on the goal line earlier. Now with the 1 yard to get, they go big. Blosser under center. He's going to keep it. Dives forward. He's got the first down distance into Jackson territory at about the 49. And I just noticed from Monroe, first time I've been able to get this kind of perspective, but Monroe, number 63 for Monroe, Jordan Basler. That can't be right. He's listed here 6'1". Am I looking at the right number?
Oh, Jacob.
Jacob Lentz. Yeah, 6'5".
Yeah.
They don't have a weight listed on here for him, but he's 270 if he's 100. Big guy up there in that Monroe offensive line, and that's one of those guys who's been a big part of their offensive push. First down and back to throw. Blosser, first pass of the game for Monroe. He's got a man out. Actually a pretty accurate throw. Double coverage though, and incomplete, but on first down. They stretch the defense out a little bit, and Monroe on the pass attempt, sending it out to a Davion Billingsley.
Yeah, Steven, you were just saying in our last break, Monroe had attempted zero passes. And so, you know, first down, I like that. That's a good time to take a shot. I'm sure Jackson High wasn't expecting, although Jackson did a good job on coverage.
They really, like I said, they had two guys going down the sideline with Billingsley. Incomplete pass, second down and 10. The nose of the football right there on the 50-yard line. Second down. And this time, Blosser out of the shotgun. Panzer back there with him. Lewis in motion takes the give. Nope. Blosser keeps. Fooled me on that one. Down past the 45 to the 44 where he's brought down. And it'll bring up third and about three for the Trojans.
Yeah, for Monroe, Garrett Lewis is their wideout that keeps coming on these sweeps. And a lot of fakes to him. They've given him the ball a couple times, but I kind of feel bad for Garrett because he's taking licks every time he's coming through. and most of the time he doesn't have the ball.
It's just decoy.
But Jackson doing a good job and taking care of him. It's what you're supposed to do.
And one time they do give it to him, they're going to regret it because the Vikings will be there. Blosser out of the shotgun, pans in the backfield with him. Lewis is there on the wing to the left. And he goes in motion. The snap goes to Blosser, and we get a flag. Kind of false start there. Some movement on the offensive line. And that penalty is, that's going to be helpful to the Vikings. Make it third down. And we'll get about 9 yards here. So this is a big chance. Jackson's got to capitalize. Just 3:25 to go first half. They trail 21 to nothing. You'd love to get the stop here, force a punt, or, you know, hold up on fourth down to get a stop and give yourself a couple minutes to still maybe try to score before you go into the locker room.
Yeah, stopping a score would be ideal, but for starters, they need to stop.
Yeah, don't look too far ahead. They haven't had a lot of success getting the stop thus far.
It's a big third down right here for Jackson.
Clock ticks down to 3 minutes, and now we get a timeout. And it's going to be charged to Monroe. Let's take a one-minute break. Back with the final 3 minutes of the first half on WKHM and WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
On third down, it's a fake to Lewis and a give to Panza. Dive up the middle, and he's able to rumble ahead. So it'll be fourth down and about 3 yards here for the Trojans. Another tough run there for Panza. He gets the tough yards, and then Blosser seems to come through and steal the glory with the big play. But no, Panza's a nice runner for the Trojans.
Yeah, and it looks like Monroe's going for it here.
Fourth down, chance for the Jackson defense to really make a play. Out of the shotgun. Lewis in motion from the left side, or right to left. They give it to Lewis. He dives. Jackson thinks they stopped him. We'll see the spot. It looked like it was short. And we'll get the changeover. So the Viking defense creates the turnover on down. 21-0. They trail. Chance for the offense to make their mark here in the game.
Quite frankly, this is the first, you know, show of emotion I've seen from the Jackson team. And you know what? That probably did need to start with the defense. They needed a defensive stop because they have not shown they could stop Monroe all evening.
A little help there from a false start penalty against Monroe, but you take it where you can get it. And now the Jackson offense needs to come out and be crisp and make this happen. Four wideouts for Bozeman. Riley next to him in the shotgun. Bozeman's going to throw on first down. He's got a guy, and he lasered it over. Nice diving stab, but it goes off of his fingertips. Intended receiver on the play, Orlando Trader. And we talked to somebody from the Jackson staff last week after their game, and they love Trader's speed.
Yeah, yep. And you can see that. That was a good route. Just Bozeman put a little too much zip on that.
They look for ways to get Trader in space so he can use that speed and agility for big plays. So this time it's kind of a pistol. Riley lined up right behind Bozeman. And Riley comes up, a botched handoff, and it looks like Monroe dives on it again. So the fumble goes back to the Trojans, a third first half turnover for the Vikings. Recovery by Monroe. It's Cross Jacobs with the play, senior. Offensive line, defensive line.
Yeah, we said some defenses really pay attention to that, really work on that in practice. That one, I think, was just an unforced, kind of a botched handoff there with Bozeman and Riley.
And we saw last week Jackson have a little trouble with the snap, those shotgun snaps. And so that one doesn't quite come in clean, which makes the handoff a little unclean. Riley puts it on the deck, but really it's not him, it's the exchange. And Monroe has not missed a beat when it comes to diving on loose footballs. So they take over first and 10 from the Jackson 41 with under 2 minutes to go in the first half. And the give is to Panza this time. Jackson's got him hemmed up. He was a step away from spinning away from the defense. Got the shoestring, though, when he goes down, and it's going to be a three-yard loss, second and 13 now from the Jackson 44.
Yeah, Dangler now kind of living in the Monroe backfield. Really doing a good job of timing the snap.
And now empty backfield for Blosser. And he's rolling right, looking to throw. Under pressure, gets it away. He's got a man. Deep ball is overthrown. If he gets it into the hands, there's nobody between Carson DeSerrano in the end zone, but instead it's an incomplete pass, and it's third down and long now for Monroe with 1:20 to play.
DeSerrano definitely got loose and had probably 6-7 yards on the closest Jackson defender. Just a slight overthrow.
Yeah, and really there was a little pressure coming, but at the point where he got the throw away, Blosser did have time to throw, and he stepped into it, got it away, and just a little bit over, and maybe less of a bad throw and more of just like uncertainty between the route, as I think DeSerrano took a little wider and Blosser was trying to throw him deep. The handoff is to Panza, who's patient, gets upended on the play. Patient running by Panza, trying to pick through the line. And then you get Orlando Trader coming through, goes low with the shoulder and brings it up, and Panza did a flip.
That was good tackling. We just mentioned Trader's speed, but didn't know he could lay the lumber like that.
Powerful. Flip Panza over, so it's fourth down and about 9 here for Monroe, just inside the Vikings 40, and they're going to go for it. And out of the shotgun here for Blosser with 3 split to his right, 1 to the left. He's back to pass. He's got pressure, and he drops it off for a little screen to Panzan. He's got room to run. He's into the 25, down to the 20, still on his feet, and just dragged down at the 19-yard line. And anticipating the pressure, great play call by Monroe with a Jackson defender in his face. Blosser dropped it off to Panza, and he had nothing but space.
Yeah, that was a great play call because Jackson was bringing pressure off the end. Panza kind of looked like he kind of faked like he was going to block him, but just slipped out and had two big Monroe linemen right leading the way for him. And Panza doesn't need much to lead the way. He's a big boy and a hard runner, easily picking up the first down.
So the timeout on the field for Monroe, wanting to talk about what they're going to do here with the final 29.3. They're in the red zone here, and the Vikings defense really needs a hold here to get into the locker room 21-0. And it's a shame to have to feel like 21-0 is a good conclusion to the half after just too many turnovers.
Yeah, when just a minute and a half ago, Jackson held them, had the ball, but took plenty of time, we thought, to maybe go get a score. Now they're just hanging on. Monroe's kicker on the extra point showed he has a boot, too. I think, you know, that they might even be in field goal range, which I know in high school football, that's always an iffy.
Blosser in the shotgun. Lewis in motion. He's back to throw again. He's got a route up the sideline, and a nice throw into the breadbasket. There was a good coverage, but it looked like a little too handsy, and we get a flag coming out, and I'm guessing that's going to be pass interference on the defense.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch a number there for Jackson. You're right. He had good coverage. He was right stride for stride with him. Just kind of looked like he might have grabbed his hand at the last second.
And that feels like a Davion Billingsley is a target that Blosser likes to throw to, so if they drop back to pass, you better find that guy pretty quick. He was streaking up the sideline. And again, pretty nice targeted throw. Blosser looked like he dropped it right in where it needed to be. Billingsley couldn't catch it, but if you're being interfered with, I guess that makes it difficult. So first down now, and I guess it could still grab a first down here. The give is to Panza, and he's hit immediately, spins off of it, stays on his feet inside the five, backing his way down to the four. Looked like Jackson had him for a loss, and he spun off the hit. Panza fighting for everything he gets out there, and he's getting plenty as they get inside the five. So with 17 seconds and another timeout, Monroe knocking on the door. The Jackson defense, they can bend here, but they cannot break it.
Yeah, you hate to say anything in the first half is a must, but you do not want to go down 28-0.
There's going to be plenty of adjustment. And, you know, if there's a silver lining at all to being this far down when you go into the locker room, Monroe goes into the locker room and says, let's keep doing what we're doing. Jackson goes into the locker room and says, this is what they're doing, and this is how we're going to adjust. And then they come out, and Monroe can only adjust on the fly, where Jackson's going to have a game plan that's a little more in line with what Monroe's trying to do tonight.
You're right, and I thought Jackson did make a nice adjustment. They started bringing Dangler in and others, kind of in some run blitz situations. Mm-hmm. But Monroe seems to just counter with some good play calling and catching Jackson off guard.
Out of the timeout, 17 seconds again on the first half clock. 21-0 Monroe. They're inside the Vikings 5-yard line. Shotgun Blosser is in there. Panza to his left. And he's got one receiver, so kind of a big set here. And play whistle dead because Jackson will take a timeout. And now they'll make a little play call adjustment. Jackson coaching staff out there. Of course, head coach Scott Farley. Antonio Parker, Rob Dillon, Corey Slater, Tom Schaefer. A slew of people on this coaching staff of the Vikings.
Went to school with a Rob Dillon. Good little second baseman for the Chiefs back when we were 9. Not sure if that's the same one. I don't think so, but you never know.
Yeah, he really turned that Chiefs career, that job with the Chiefs, into a football career. I used to know. There's a God. What's the guy? I can't think of. You said Rob Dillon.
Yeah, Rob Dillon.
Bob Dillon. I don't know why that name sticks in my head. Can you think
Dillon.
Of why? Yeah.
I don't know why that would be. Did he play for the Chiefs when he was
No.
there? Seems like that guy ended
traveling
up
traveling Wilburys.
Had a decent music career.
Ken Dillon Memorial Golf Outing this Sunday out of Hinkard Hills.
Oh, are you in that?
I'm in it.
Okay,
good. It's going to be fun. My third year. Fun event. Golf. Golf. I mean, we're back into football mode as Monroe back on the field and out of the shotgun. Going to the end zone. Kind of that fade route. Caught, but I think he got it. I think he went out of bounds. They're signaling touchdown. He went up high to get it. And again, that's a Davion Billingsley. I thought he landed out of bounds, but the officials signal touchdown. And without the benefit of instant replay, that's going to stand.
Yeah, and that's about as far away on the field from us as you can possibly get. So it was tough for us to see that foot. But, boy, if he came down with the ref said he did, that was a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch.
And in cases like these, I will defer to the official because he's watching for that. I'm watching the overall. He's specifically watching to see where he lands. So if he got a foot down, it's good. It touchdown either way, 27-0 Monroe on the fade route to the corner. And now the extra point is up. Looks good from here. And on the field, 28-0. So Jackson's got 12.3 to the halftime. Let's take 30 seconds and we'll get this kickoff on WKHM and WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
12.3 to play here, first half. Jackson trails 28-0. Not what we expected, Brian, you were saying there during the break. And it's turnovers. That's the real the difference in the game. And Jackson has been able to get some offensive movement. They just have turned it over. And it's three fumbles. And sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way. And it's bounced right into those Monroe Trojans' arms every time. The kickoff is up end over end. And it's over the head of the return team and into the end zone. That'll roll off the back. And Jackson will take it at the 20-yard line.
That was a nice boot there. You don't see that very often.
They're lining up to return at about the 10, and I think they kind of took a couple steps forward and realized it's going to go over the head.
And with Trader and Kirby back there, you know, they are, they're always, you do get that feeling that they're just a catch away from breaking one.
Just a well-timed block away from taking it to the house, and with 12.3 to go, Jackson will come out here and see if they can get a big play. This opportunity to go into the playbook and maybe find something that works in practice. It's a little bit fun. It's a little bit sneaky, but you can go for a big gain on it. Or do you just kind of hope you don't turn it over again and get
into it? I think so. And it looks like Monroe has, five guys 20 yards from the line. So.
Yeah, they got kind of a prevent going. Riley will carry it out to the 25. And the clock will start up, and we'll run out of time on the half. Jackson's not going to try to get another play in. They'll take it to the locker room, trailing 28-0. As you said, Brian, an unexpected turn of events because I think these teams are more evenly matched than this. But if you're going to turn over the football, you're not going to be it. Very rarely does a team have three turnovers and still turn around and win a game.
Yeah, when it's 3-0 in turnovers, that's a tough way to try to win a game.
So Jackson will take the long, slow trip to the locker room, trailing 28-0 here early. We had some other scores from around the area. At our last check-in, Grass Lake was leading East Jackson 27-0. Lumen Christie out to a 13-0 lead over Hastings. We had Western at last check-in 14-8. They got out in front of BC Penfield. Western playing at home tonight. East Lansing out to a 21-0 lead over River Rouge. St. Joe's 27-0 lead over Okemos. And Lansing Catholic with a 27-3 lead over Ionia. We had, this is a while ago, but at our last check-in, we had Mason with a 7-3 lead over Eaton Rapids. And I had one other I really wanted to double-check. And I'm not finding it. There it is. Ida was a 6-0 leader over Hudson, and Dundee 6-0 over Onstead in the early going. So we're at the half here. Dorian Riley Express has been sent to the station a little bit. Yeah. So we will let's take 2 minutes. We'll come back and look at what we have here. We got the This Week in High School Sports segment from the MHSAA coming up on the half. And we'll get ready for half number two, and hopefully we get a little turnaround here from Jackson. Of course, our broadcast brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning, and a thank you to the Shamrock Bar. We heard about the three-quarter pound Shammy Burger, but we always talk tater tots. They got fantastic tater tots over there. We maybe, I'd say it, a post-game drink might happen over there tonight, and we might need it, two of them if this score continues the way that it's going. We can play the lottery games, watch the Lions, Red Wings, when they play again. Spartans and Wolverines in October, you get that planned or scheduled. So that could be real good.
Do you have a go-to Keno ball, Keno number?
No, I don't. I don't play Keno. Oh,
okay, not even when you're enjoying the chamois and some tots.
That's true.
A little Keno tops it off. That's going to be the night.
You think so? I'm more prone to lose money on the jukebox than on the Keno machine. What is the saying? Only a fool bucks the tiger. The odds are all on the house. But no, I just saw somebody on social media the other day sending me I checked my Keno and it said contact the Michigan Lottery office for some winnings, so it can happen, and it does.
We're going to test that out tonight, I think.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. The Keno can be fun. But favorite mixed drinks, beers, and they're having a big event tomorrow, actually. Cornhole Tournament Oktoberfest at Shamrock. All outdoors. They're going to have some. They're going to have food, of course, games, music, live music. So, be safe and have fun at the Shamrock over on East Michigan Avenue, 1628 East Michigan Avenue. Shout out to Rick, John Wilson, Kathy. I think is serving drinks tonight, so it's going to be fun. Anyway, let's get to the halftime break here. 2 minutes, and we'll be back with more on WKHM at WKHM.com. Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes. Back at Jackson High at the half, 28-0. They trail Monroe. And Monroe just, I don't know, they didn't do anything spectacular on the offensive end, just a steady running attack. They run kind of that read option. The quarterback gets to decide if it's going to be the running back or him who carries it with the added wrinkle of them. I mean, it's not an uncommon offense to see in the area.
Right, right. In fact, I'd say their first four drives, we saw three plays. There was a jet sweep. There was a fake jet sweep where the quarterback handed it to Panza, or the quarterback kept it, and that was it. And finally, that last drive, they had a couple nice pass plays that they added to that, so they're definitely using that run to set that up. But, boy, for Jackson to come back, being down 28 points, they're going to have to find some way to stop them on the ground. They can't let Monroe just chew up yardage and clock. It's going to be an issue.
And we had kind of noticed in the pregame warm-ups that Blosser had a pretty accurate arm. You know, he's throwing out those practices. And sure enough, he nailed that one in the end zone to kind of put Monroe up to the current deficit that they have, 28-0. We don't have a lot to monitor Dorian Riley. He didn't have a terrible half, but, you know, with a fumble and a pretty sturdy Monroe defense when compared to Tecumseh. Riley was just hemmed up a little bit, though not entirely. He did have some nice runs, and he's still showing flashes of what we expect from him. Just hasn't been able to get quite as loose as he was a week ago.
Down 28, that's going to be the big question. Will they have time to just let Riley chew 4 yards here, 5 yards there? They're going to have to get a couple other bigger plays. You know, that's where maybe Trader comes in or Kirby.
Yeah, or even Bozeman getting into a little bit of space with Riley as the decoy can find some way to make some big plays. But they've just been, the offense hasn't been as electric, and the defense has struggled against Monroe, and it's the turnovers that really, I think, are going to be the story of the game at the end. If Jackson can create a few more in the second half than they give up, maybe that starts to be the way that they get back into this. So maybe they have to start looking to turn over the Monroe team. But they've had great ball protection and nice offensive line play.
It sure feels like for them to get back in it, they're going to have to flip-flop that turnover battle and maybe win it 3-0 instead of be down 3-0 in the turnover battle for the second half.
Yeah, I want to start announcing some of these Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning touchdowns for Jackson instead of Monroe. But a shout-out to Aspen one-hour heating and air conditioning, always on time or you don't pay a dime. So we'll take a two-minute break here. We'll get the This Week in High School sports segment from the MHSAA. We'll come back and get things ready for the second half. Again, Monroe leading Jackson 28-0 on WKHM and online around the world at WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes is the final minutes tickoff here on the halftime countdown. Jackson trails 28-0. Monroe led by their fine quarterback who's good with the legs, and then we saw with the arm too, and that is Jacob Blosser. He's a senior. He's listed at 5'11". Plays QB, plays a little DB, and does a nice job. And the tough yards have come from Panza, and he has battled for yardage, and he stays on his feet a little long, and he maybe spins away, gets you 2-3 extra yards. I'm looking more for Dorian Riley to start kind of doing that, where he was less of like dragging guys and more of one guy alone wasn't going to bring him down. He'll bounce off, but that's not how they've attacked him. Monroe's attacked him with 3-4 guys all night, so he's got his work cut out for him, but I think he's up to the challenge.
Yeah, and the line obviously has something to do with that, but when you're somebody like Riley and you're looking, you know, you're sitting on the sidelines and you're looking at your counterpart over there that's just out rushing you right now, sometimes yep. That puts a little fire under you for the second half, so I'd like to see Riley have a big second half as well.
Yeah, and I got to imagine that Coach Scott Farley is looking for ways to try and fire these guys up in the locker room, too. As we mentioned, even just walking to the locker room, the Jackson body language was morose, a little sluggish. So they'll look for ways to get energized. And, you know, it's going to happen with Riley. It's going to happen with Bozeman. And I think they'll be able to make those plays. And I think Jackson's going to, after taking the opening kick, they're going to have to start out on defense again. And a big defensive play could really turn things around for them.
Yeah, and they have to come out with a stop, too. And, you know, the one guy, Dale Dangler, he's kind of their emotional leader, too, and not to mention just a good player on the defense, but Dangler's going to have to come up with something to kind of get this team pumped up. And there's 93 people in the stands. I counted. At halftime. Legit. It started with 62. It's up to 93. So these 93 people are going to have to maybe provide a little energy as well.
And they have been vocal, and they were quite vocal early. And matter of fact, I'm sure our microphone picked up a few of them. But we're ready to go as the seconds tick off. And Jackson, you can see the Vikings a little more pep in their step. It looks like hustling off the field a little bit here. We do have a couple more scores from around the area, and that includes Clinton with a 21-0 lead right now over Columbia Central. So we'll wish good luck to the Golden Eagles out there, Josh Kubiak's squad. And they'll be on the radio a little later this year hosting Hillsdale on K105.3. That's one of their games of the week. Addison has gotten out to a 21-0 lead over Hanover Horton. And Blissfield with a 14-0 advantage over Hillsdale. And I think Blissfield's been, I mean, maybe I'm making a mistake, but Blissfield's been a really good program in the area that's kind of flown under the radar. But they've had a really good couple of years in a row.
Blissfield always does seem to have good athletics,
yeah,
boys and girls.
They usually run out there with some big kids on the football squad. So the Jackson Viking kick team comes out. We'll tee it up on the 40. And back to return for Monroe is Zadavion Billingsley. And then we've also got Raymond Anderson. So there's a kick. Jackson trying the onside. It goes right into the waiting arms of a Monroe player. Good handling of the football and just goes to the deck. And that is Ashton Elmer, Jr. for the Trojans. And Monroe starts with the football on their own 46-yard line. And it was interesting because Jackson did try the onside kick probably 3 or 4 times last week and hadn't done it yet. So here, of course, they haven't had a chance to kick since the opening of the game.
Yeah, yep. I don't blame that call.
Visit the Shamrock Bar.
Jackson Specs. Hope for a good bounce. And like we said, they're going to need to win the turnover battle, probably in the neighborhood of 3-0 if they're going to come back.
Helps to get a stop right here. First down. Blosser gets player in motion and gives it to him on the jet sweep. And he looks to turn upfield, slashes through the line down to the 50 before he's brought down. And another player getting a carry there is Ashton Elmer. So he makes the play on special teams, and then he gets the handoff here. So a name we didn't call at all in the first half, Elmer. putting his mark on this game. Now he goes to the sideline. But with the nose of the football on the 50, it's second down and about six for the Trojans.
Yeah, that job had been held down by Garrett Lewis the whole first half for Monroe. And Garrett took a few big shots, as we talked about. Maybe Garrett said, hey, let Ashton take a couple shots.
Lewis back in there and in motion on this play. Panzik takes the handoff, and he bounces through midfield and down to the 45 and to the 42 before the Vikings bring him down. But that'll move the chains, and it's first and 10 for Monroe. And Panzik just continues to kind of use that patient running style and pick through whatever seams he can find.
Yeah, very Le'Veon Bell-like. Just being patient, letting his blockers, and then kind of picking a hole and then just churning for an extra 2 or 3 yards when you think they have him.
Yeah, he has not been pushed backwards much in this game, and as they move into Jackson territory with a first and 10, 10:48 to play here as our third quarter just underway. Monroe with a 28-0 advantage.
Danza just a junior, too, and running behind those two big old juniors, Jacob Lentz and Kyle Kestics.
Another handoff here on a slashing kind of dive play right through the seam and busts it for a big gain. Give it up for Caleb Winkleman, or excuse me, Carson DeSerrano on the carry as he gets over the 40 down to the 30 and then eventually to the 25 before he stopped. Big gain play there for Monroe.
We said it was going to be important this opening drive for Jackson to get a quick stop. Well, it's not going to be quick, so I guess they're going to have to settle just for the stop.
Yeah, 25 yards to the end zone here from Monroe.
Visit the Shamrock.
Looking like it might be a happy weekend for this Trojan squad. And Blosser back in the shotgun with Panza. Only one receiver out to the right. And Lewis in motion, and he'll take the jet sweep. And they'll bring him down. That's a good stop for the Vikings. No gain on first down for Monroe.
Yeah, good tackle by Marcus Hoskins, who we called a lot last week and haven't really called his name much on the defensive end tonight.
We have not. Garrett Lewis on that carry. Again, he's been kind of the motion man every time on that, giving the option of the jet sweep, as we mentioned, the dive to the back or the QB keep. Lewis now lining up to the right of Blosser. Snaps a little high, but he still gets the carry away to Panza, as he jumps inside the 25 to the 24 before he's hitting the Jackson Viking defense. Now seems to be in a little bit of rhythm here, stopping that run attack.
Back-to-back tackles by Marcus Hoskins there, too. Another good hit. I'm sure they're tired of watching Panza just hit them, so they're kind of striking first. This is a big one, too, because now it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and Monroe's just been feasting on these 3rd and 1s and 2s. See if Jackson could force a 4th down here.
Yeah, and you know you're going to have to stop them 2 more times because they have not hesitated to go for it on 4th down. Blosser out of the shotgun. Lewis in motion takes the snap. Blosser gives to Panza. Changes directions, and they got him. They string him out. He's going to get down to the 20. So he does a good job of staying on his feet and still getting positive yardage, but a good job by the Viking defense to close off his hole, and Panza making the adjustment, but it's going to bring up 4th and 5, and now Jackson in position to get a stop here.
Yeah, there were 4 Vikings in there, kind of led the way by 15, Garrett Ennis.
Michael Brown's helmet came off in the action. So 4th down, we got about 5 yards. Monroe comes out. And they go with a kind of 5 down, and then you get a wing, and Lewis in motion gives to Panza again, and he's got nearly the first down distance. Great defensive stop. Panza had the momentum. Looks like he might lean it over the first down marker and turn it into a first down, but the defense stood up, and it's Dennis Hall for the Vikings with a little help from his friends, keeping Monroe from the first down marker, and Jackson creates a turnover on downs.
Yeah, that sure looked like Panza was going to just churn and get that extra yard needed for the first down, but Hall comes up with a big stick, sends Panza backward.
And now Jackson will have the football still deep in their own territory here at about the 18. They haven't shown that they can drive the length of the field. Of course, scoreless thus far. But we'll see what they can do here with Bozeman and Riley. Bozeman takes the snap, gives to Riley, and he's going to grab a couple of yards. But not a ton of room to run. He'll get to about the 21. If the spots, no, they'll put it right on the 20, so really just a yard and a half. Second down at about 8.
That was Jonas Snavely on the tackle for Monroe.
At their own 20-yard line.
Jackson O-line comes up. Bozeman in a shotgun with Riley right behind him. Three wide receivers, two split to his right. And it's play action to Riley, end-around play, and he's got some space looking to cut up field, and he does. He's going to get to the first down marker up to the 30-yard line. Nice play call and execution by the Vikings. Alfred Taylor on the carry for the first down. And a pretty nice end-around play. And that's using Riley as the decoy. Play action to him, end-around to Taylor, and he's able to turn that into a nice game.
And good thing for Jackson, no flags on the field. That's where you kind of get some holding on that block out there outside, but good block.
First and 10 from the 30 for the Vikings. One wide receiver split way right for the Vikings, but the gives to Riley looking to go on a kind of a sweep play to the left side. He'll turn it into about a 3-yard gain before he goes out of bounds. And really, they just give him two, so on that opposite sideline, he steps out of bounds, and now it's second and 8. And Riley, for you know, for as much as they have kind of held him down from the big plays we were seeing a week ago, he still rarely gets negative yardage plays. Still seems when it gets into his hands, he's able to find a couple yards.
And I won't be surprised if this game ends and he's near 100.
And there he gets a big gain, slashes up the middle. Into the secondary, over the 50, still on his feet. He was moonwalking from the 50 into the Monroe 45 before he goes down. It doesn't matter how he does it, how he moves his feet. He's going to move his feet. Big gain for Riley, and that'll definitely energize this Viking offense as they get into the Monroe territory at the 45.
Yeah, about a 20-yard run there for Riley, and as you said, they were trying to hold him up, and he was apparently moonwalking. He was moving backwards. I don't know if he was truly moonwalking, but it sure did look like it. Good job to hang on to the ball, though, as five Monroe defenders crashed in on him.
Fake there by Bozeman to Riley, and it looked like he was going to get stopped, but he's able to turn on the jets a little bit and fall forward, so he's going to get about 5 yards on the first down play. And so now we're getting some rhythm here for the Vikings. 5:28 to play here in the third quarter. 28-0 lead.
Here's where Jackson had a couple of these drives in the first half, but they shoot themselves in the foot with a turnover. So here's where they got to actually punch it in, hang on to the ball here.
Second down, I guess it's a long five. Back to throw, Bozeman trying to sidearm it out to Taylor, and it's knocked down at the line. A little Matt Stafford action on the pass there. And it ended up, like a lot of his passes do, incomplete.
See, I think Stafford's a little underappreciated, but maybe I'm alone on that.
I was that way for a long time, and he's starting to lose me this season.
Come on, Steve, no preseason. It takes a couple games to kind of get that timing down. Galladay's been injured.
You talked me into it. I'm back on board. Give us to Riley, and they're going to push him backwards. He's still on his feet, and that maybe was to his detriment because they push him back out of Monroe territory to about the 48 back in Jackson's end of the field. And that is that's a huge loss. That's going to take it back to fourth down at about 15.
Yeah, the entire Monroe line kind of strung out that play to the side, and then Carson Deserano came and cleaned up the mess. Long fourth down now. With 4:35, what do you think?
Yeah, they have to go for it. They have to find something that works, but I don't. The passing game has been ineffective. So out of the shotgun, back to pass Bozeman, and a quick pass away on a slant route, and that's going to go off the fingertips of Orlando Trader, incomplete, and Monroe takes the football back. So Jackson had a little momentum there, and they see that come to an end with a a big loss, and I feel partially responsible, like I jinxed Riley, because saying even when they get him, they don't get him for a loss, and on that one, they took quite a big chunk backwards.
Yeah, well, on that one, Riley was trying to really make something happen, which I understand at this point in the game. Somebody's got to make a play, but he started kind of running backwards, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of Monroe players following him.
So first and 10 for Monroe right at midfield. .413 left on our third quarter clock. It's a 28-0 Monroe lead with the football. And they give to Lewis, this time out of the backfield. He didn't have to be the decoy on the sweep, so that is the softest he's been hit all night, as they kind of just tripped him up, and he falls forward for a couple yards, second down at about 8 for the Trojans. But Lewis out of the backfield there.
Steve, I just feel like us and all the Jackson High fans are just waiting for some big play for Jackson to have to kind of make us at least have the feeling like they're in this game. But at the 3:36 and ticking in the third quarter, it needs to happen sooner than later.
Well, the 28-0 lead, Monroe not in a hurry to get up to run plays even, just taking their time. And Jacob Blosser gives again to Lewis, and this time he had a head of steam, and he gets his way down to about the 41. I think he's about an inch shy, no, a full yard shy of the first down marker, but third and short again. Monroe just keeps finding ways to move the chains.
Marcus Hoskins comes kind of to the sidelines a little gingerly, and that's not going to help Jackson's case. Kind of holding it like he's cramping.
Third down play. Jackson needs something big here. And they're stacking up the line. This is going to be a battle in the trenches for what happens on this play. Blosser takes the snap. And they're in the backfield with him. But Blosser pulls it out and runs. He's got the first down, spinning still on his feet inside the 30 down to the 27. And Jackson blew that play up and did exactly what they needed to do. And Blosser just had the steady hand to pull it away from the running back, keep it himself, and dive ahead for first down distance. Chelsea with a 28-7 lead over Ipsy Lincoln. Little conference battle over there. Ann Arbor Skyline with a 23-7 lead over Ann Arbor Pioneer. At our last check, Western had a 14-8 lead over Battle Creek Penfield, and that was two quick scores and then nothing for the rest of the half, pretty much, for those two teams. This is first and 10 here for Monroe from the Vikings' 28-yard line. Out of the shotgun, Blosser back to throw. Looking downfield, he's got a man with a step. And he catches it and falls into the end zone. That's a touchdown. Coverage was there, but it got through the arms. Nice catch by a Davion Billingsley. And his momentum carried him into the end zone and make it. Oh, we have a flag. Two flags in the backfield, so the Viking fans cheering the points coming off the board. You see yellow, and I just thought it was that Vikings player's shoes.
Those are some bright yellow shoes.
And that's our one of our faves out there, Dale Dangler. But it was an actual penalty flag, and so that moves Monroe back to the 44-yard line.
I wonder if that's ever a Dangler plan, where if like he's getting beat, if he just takes his shoe off and throws it and hopes that people think that's a flag.
First and 25 now for Monroe. Lewis in motion, back to throw. Blosser's going to look to the outside receiver again. This time not his favorite target over there, but still a good pass, had a chance to be caught, and the intended receiver on the play, Ashton Elmer. Incomplete pass.
And Elmer, I know, thinks he should have come up with that, and I agree with him. He slammed the turf with his hand as if to say, that's my fault.
He hit it hard, too. I've been down there. That's not as soft. That's not like soft grass down there on the artificial.
Sends vibrations surface through the forearm?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the same as landing on concrete, but it's a lot closer to that than to a nice, soft, well-worn, natural grass field. Minute 38 to go, third quarter. Still 28-0 Monroe, but now they have second down and 25 from the Jackson 44. Blosser back there with two backs, three wideouts. A little pump fake and looking downfield, and he's got a man up the sideline again. Look at the coverage on that play, stride for stride, no pass interference. He was never open. Didn't stop Blosser from trying to get it to Panza. And it's incomplete, so that'll bring up third down and 25 for Monroe.
That's great coverage by Lovemar Hamby. Listed at 5'7", 155, and boy, from here, he looks like they'd have to stretch him out to get him to 5'7". But we're up high, so Lovemar, you might truly be a 5'7", but I'm calling you 5'6 and a quarter, if that.
So 91 seconds to play here in the third. This has actually helped Jackson because they've got the long down and distance, and these incomplete passes stop the clock, so a little more time for the Vikings. And they run play action and give to play action to Lewis, but do hand off to Panza, and he's going to get a chunk back, about seven, so it'll bring up fourth and still 18.
It's kind of funny. Monroe here, they've just been gashing him on the ground, and you would think this would for sure be the part of the game plan with, you know, as the third quarter's ticking away, just eat the clock, get some yards, and all of a sudden, Monroe's coming out slinging it.
Yeah, and honestly, if they had run that play three times instead of the two incomplete passes and the play, it's fourth down and four instead of fourth down and 18.
Yeah.
But they're going to kill a significant portion of the remaining clock here in the third quarter. We're under a minute now, and it's running. And Monroe comes to the line. It is going to be a punt from the 49, low liner. It's going to bounce and roll. And now picked up by Trader. Dodges the tackler to the sideline. And he meets about three players who knock him out of bounds. Risky to even pick that up while it was rolling, but Trader got a hold of it. And now we get a flag at the sideline, a little extracurricular.
Yeah, I was a little nervous for Trader picking that up too, but it saved him. Maybe 12 yards.
Yeah.
And I think that flag might go against Monroe, too.
And it does. And so that's going to be one of those 15-yard penalties that's going to give Jackson decent field position with 28.1 here. You start looking for reasons to believe in us. If they can make something big happen here and get it out of this third quarter and, you know, start looking like things might end up being 28-7, there's a little daylight that you need to feel like you still have a shot to win. And now we get a flag with...
Somebody said a magic word, I think.
And the official's going to run it over to the sideline and make sure the coach knows who said it.
Well, that's one way Jackson High is going to pick up an extra 30 yards right here.
Yeah, and hopefully don't get into this war of words. Just go ahead and let Monroe continue to jaw.
So continue to jaw. That sounds like something that my grandpa might say. Steve's kind of showing off some 1980s lingo.
Yeah. And how old would your grandpa have been even in the 80s? I knew your father, and he was never a young man.
Well, he might say that.
Granddad had to be.
Don't want to start John with him.
That might have been the first time actually I heard someone say that was old Ray Haynes. So Jackson now near midfield, and Bozeman looking to throw. He's got a slant, and it's hit again at the line. And good job by the Monroe defensive line to get hands up on those throws. That's a couple times now that Bozeman's looked to kind of sling it, and he does have that kind of sidearm motion. He's not got a kind of a over-the-top motion like a big, you know, Ryan Leaf in his heyday.
And that's Tayshawn Nichols, junior for Monroe, that's knocked it down twice in a row. Bozeman coming over his side.
Looks like the intended receiver on the play, John Cole, for the Vikings. So second down and 10, Jackson at their own 47-yard line. 22.1 to go here. They trail 28 to nothing.
Going left to right in the dial.
In the black unis with the white trim. Handoff goes to Riley. Runs off tackle. Busted out to the outside. Turns up field. He's got some room to run to the 40. On his feet at the 30. 20. Turns it back inside to the 10. 5. Into the 3-yard line. Dorian Riley, the magic we were waiting for, comes for us with 10.1 to go in the third quarter. And he puts Jackson at the doorstep to their first touchdown tonight.
That'll probably be the last play of the third quarter, but we do have some excitement for anybody that's going to hang with us through this break.
Clock's going to run out on the third quarter. 1 minute break. We're back with the fourth on WKHM and WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes as Jackson gets lined up here. And they got it spotted on the four, but a great run by Riley. You couldn't hold him down for too long. With 12 to play, Jackson's got their first chance at the end zone here, first good chance. And Bozeman keeps. Cuts it inside into the end zone, and that looks like a touchdown to me, and the official agrees. And there is a touchdown for the Vikings, brought to you by Aspen 1 Hour Heating. Always on time or you don't pay a dime. 28-6, Jackson with their first taste of pay dirt.
Finally get that little break that we're looking for.
And that'll energize that sideline. The defense will get a little extra pep in their step after that play. And you hope Jackson can turn it into more. They're going to try to get two here on the conversion. Bozeman out of the shotgun. And they'll run that end-around play. And it's going to go for two. And they take it into the end zone. Great block on the outside, by the way. So the two-point conversion is run in by Alfred Taylor. But with a great block on the outside, and the coaches are giving him a high five. John Cole held that block and let Taylor cut that up and into the end zone.
And no real tactical reason to go for two there. They just must not have a ton of faith in the kicking game. So
30-second break. We're back with the kick. And you know what? Let's take a full minute. We have a player down on the field, and we'll be back with a kick here on WKHM.
Now, back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Jackson tries the onside kick, and it slow rolls its way to the 50. And I don't know who has it. Jackson might have had a shot at it. He comes up with it. Did it go 10 yards? He somehow kicked it, and it was rolling, and the kicker was running along with it, and I think he picked up the possession. I think the officials are going to try to decide if it went 10 yards. But I think it did.
See, now, from my point of view, I thought he might have grabbed it a half yard or yard too early. I'd love to give him the benefit of the doubt. This is going to be a tough one here at Jackson for them to say no.
Yeah. But I've never seen a kick. Even if you try to do that, the football's oblong, so it's going to bounce to one side or the other.
And they're not. Illegal touch.
So Jackson will not get the possession. They're going to say he got it just before. So it'll be Monroe ball, but gosh, the way he got that to roll down straight and just ran alongside it. What a play.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a thing of beauty, and it was going slowly, and the Jackson guys were all around. I just think they got to it a half yard early.
And honestly, if they don't grab it early, there's a good chance Monroe gets it instead. Yeah. So. I think he felt the urgency, and they do spot it right at about the 49.5-yard line. With 11:53 to go, Jackson trails 28-8. First score here for the Vikings, and now they'll look to add to it. But they got to stop Monroe first. Blosser takes it, keeps it, fakes the give to Lewis, stays on his feet after contact. That was a tough run for Blosser. He gets down to about the 44 on the carry. He was hit at about maybe after 1 yard of gain, and then managed to grab another 3-4 yards.
Yeah, Blosser is a tough runner. Got a good arm.
Yeah,
nice player.
Yeah, nice player for Monroe as a senior. Update at the end of three, Western holding on to a 21-14 lead over BC Penfield. Western looking to get to 2-0 on the early season in that Interstate 8, which looks like it could be a little more competitive this year after Lumen nearly lost, but maybe looking vulnerable a little bit for the Titans.
At least gives other people hope.
Yeah. So 11:01 to play the clock running. Blosser standing on the 50-yard line. Takes the snap, gives to Lewis. He cuts through the line, works his way back to the middle of the field, does get past the first down marker. Takes it to the 38-yard line. And first and 10 for Monroe. And after Panza running it so much, Lewis is kind of a change of pace. He's a little shorter, maybe a little more difficult to find behind those large linemen for Monroe. We mentioned the size of Jacob Lentz at 6'5", working up there with Kyle Keskis at 6'2", and he's, if Jacob Lentz wasn't out there, Keskis would be the biggest guy in the field. So they got a couple of nice big hogs down there in the mud. There's a handoff to Panza, and he picks his way through the line, turns on the afterburners when the time's right, carries it down to the 26-yard line. First down and 10 again for Monroe.
Yeah, we mentioned quite a few players, including Panza, going playing both ways for Monroe. I think that those first two hands off to Lewis would just give Panza a little rest. But with 10 minutes to go and the clock ticking, this is when Monroe is asking the coaching staff, say, Panza, we need you now.
Jackson defense needs to stand it up here. 26-yard line with a fresh set of downs, and Monroe looking to ice this away. Under 10 minutes to go. There is a give to Panza, and he's only going to get a couple before he goes down. But he gets inside the 25 to about the 24. And that'll bring up second down at about 8.
That was Brendan Blood with the initial stop for Jackson. I've seen two Jackson High players helping Panza up after the run. Sometimes you don't see that kind of sportsmanship, so a little game recognizing game, perhaps.
From the 24, second down, Monroe comes out in that familiar formation. Although in the backfield, this time is De Serrano, and he takes the give. Jackson has him hemmed up a little bit. He spins away and tries to get down to the 20. Hit there stops him shy at about the 21, and that'll make it third down and about 5. That's where that effort continues to the whistle, because he's on his way down, but that hit comes in and kind of keeps him from pushing it further anymore. And in a game of inches, you like to get all of them that you can. So third and, for some reason, third and 5 just sounds better than third and 4.
It sure does. And when you know you're going to go for it and you have two plays, I mean, those yards count.
Yeah.
Every yard matters, that's for sure. That sounds cliche, but it's a fact.
And there is a fake by Blosser, and he keeps, goes the other direction, and he's got nothing but green between him and the end zone, and he walks it in. And Blosser with another nice game today. And another score. Aspen One Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, our touchdown sponsor. But that one takes the wind out of the Jackson High side of Withington Stadium. 34-8 with an extra point pending. He's perfect from that location tonight, and he'll look to do it again. And that brings Blosser out to hold. Norberto Flores Jr., the kicker. The kick's up and good. And it's 35-8. 1 minute break. We'll come back. And Jackson will try again on WKHM, WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Kirby catches the kickoff at the 5. Actually made a nice catch. Still standing on his feet. Spins away from a tackle, and he still can't get past the 11-yard line. Kirby really just working to stay on his feet, showing that elusiveness, but there always seems to be another Monroe player nearby. And we get a flag down late in the play. Can't wait to see what it is.
And Xander Trejo just stayed with Kirby despite the efforts.
And that's going to go against Jackson. I missed the arm signal there, though.
I saw it, but I'm gonna be honest here, and I'm gonna tell you I'm not sure
it's
what
unfamiliar.
That is. It was an odd signal that I have not seen before.
So they'll put him on the 5 yard line. So 95 yards for the Vikings to work with here. Dorian Riley can eat that up quickly if they give him a hole to run through. With 8:01 to play, 35-8 is the score. Jackson gives to Riley, and he breaks a tackle at the 5 out to the 10. And we do have a substitution at QB for Jackson. Gibson Drummond took the snap on that play.
So, Steve, when you're Jackson here and you're down 35-8 with 7:43, do you just start trying to prepare for next game at this point and just try to run your stuff and work on your things against another team? Or do you go ahead and become something that you're not and start, you know, trying to sling it around and then put yourself in jeopardy of?
I think you stay with the game plan. Yeah. You try to still do the things well that you do well. And that snap is low, and Drummond has to fall on it back at the 2 yard line. 7:10 to play, and Jackson backed up. And we've seen the snap be tough for Bozeman to handle. Drummond likewise dives on that one. And now third down, 13, and they do spot it at about the 3.
Now that snap truly was rolling at Gibson Drummond by the time he could reach down. Definitely more on the center on that one.
So out of their own end zone, and another low snap. Drummond has to pick it up off the bounce. Gets ahead of steam, and as he gets out to the 5, he's absolutely assaulted. And you know what? It looks like a number 4 that it's not on our roster.
Yep. We're going to say O'Brien Powell with the hit. Just because O'Brien Powell is 9 on ours, and 9 kind of looks like a 4.
That's all good enough for me.
That's my logic.
Yeah. And there's a number of reasons why teams will have to change jerseys and players might not be wearing the jersey they normally wear.
Yeah.
That seems to happen to us every year. But
I think from now on, we're just going to let's just not even tell our listeners, and let's just throw a name out there.
Just say a name. Just guess.
Yeah, just say a name. We'll give each other a chuckle at least.
We'll know knowingly. So we got a timeout on the field. Let's take a minute before we come back with the Jackson punt. 35-8, Jackson trails at home on WKHM.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Punt is away cleanly. It's high but not very deep. Fair caught at the Jackson 37. With 5:48 to play, Jackson trails 35-8. Getting some more scores from out of town. Waverly, 14-12 lead over Holt. After 3, Western still holding on, 21-14 over Penfield. Chelsea out to a 31-7 lead as they square off tonight. And they are Ypsilanti Lincoln. First down, carry, and Jackson making a nice play on the defense.
We have a new Monroe quarterback out there, Caleb Winkleman.
Caleb Winkleman.
6'1 junior.
Handoff on the play goes to, or was that Winkleman on the keep?
Yeah, Winkleman on the keep.
Sturgis 30-0 lead. In there, was that Alamand? Lumen 13-6 lead in the fourth at their game.
Wow.
So they're holding on with Hastings.
Lumen fans not used to these one-score games in the fourth quarter.
No, that's got to be a little bit of uncomfortableness. So we get a penalty, or we get a stoppage of play. Now we'll start the clock back up here. Hey, second down and 4 from the Viking 32.
So here's where the Jackson High pride needs to come through. Monroe with some of their backups in.
There is a handoff to Serrano, and he's going to take it inside the 25 down to the 23. De Serrano.
Good tackle by Marcus Hoskins to bring him down, but after the first down.
The clock runs down to 4 minutes, 30 seconds. Thank some of our other area sponsors, including Community Hearing Center.
What's that?
The Community Center.
Oh, just kidding.
Elro Steel, Avenue Auto, Janko Boot Shop, H.B. Fuller, Fuller's Chem Dry, Penn Chiropractic Center. There's a give to De Serrano, and he slices through the line. He's going to get down past the 15 to about the 12 where he's upended, and another first down for Monroe and keeping the clock running. Thank you to Meridian Wealth Management, the Grace Group, Jim Winter Auto Group, Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, the touchdown sponsor, and most of those touchdowns have been courtesy of the Monroe offense. Another update from Western with 6:54 to play. The Panthers lead the Penfield. The Western Panthers lead the Penfield Panthers 28-14. We're taking down to about 3.5 here at Jackson.
We're getting close to getting the call there to get the tater tots warming up. Shamrock.
And Lewis in motion again. This time the give to De Serrano. He follows a blocker through the line, and the momentum carries him into the end zone. And De Serrano will score a touchdown for Aspen 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. Lead block on the play, who deserves some mention, is Gavin Yount from Monroe, who carried, who kind of led the way and cleared the road for De Serrano to take that into the end zone, and it's 41-8 now.
Gavin, the great nephew of shortstop great Robin Yount from Milwaukee. Just a little side piece of information when I was doing my Monroe research.
Yeah.
Kind of a distant second cousin, I guess it was.
And now we'll get a timeout from Monroe. Let's take a minute. They've got an extra point pending. 3:18 to play on WKHM, WKHM.com. Never mind.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
So 3:18 to play. The kick was good. 42-8 our score. And we are going to sneak in another 30-second break before we come back with the kickoff here at WKHM and online around the world at WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Low line drive kick picked up at the 15, and on the return, gets up to the 30, changes directions to the 32, nearly had a chance to break it there. Nice shoestring tackle by Monroe. O'Brien Powell. And the return there was a new name for us tonight. I believe we have
Derek Reed.
Yeah. Oh, Dectric. Yeah. Read a little closer, Steve. But a nice run. He had some speed, you could see. So with 3:13 to go, Jackson now just trying to get what they can get. Once again, here we are at Jackson. Lumen Christie's where all the drama is. Hastings scored and converted two-pointer, and they lead Lumen 14-13, and just a minute left in that one. We'll wait to see what happens with the final score, but Lumen might be going down at home tonight.
Lumen still just seems to find ways to win games like that.
Mm-hmm. Shotgun here, and it's Drummond in the backfield rolling out. He'll throw it out to the flat, and it's caught. Nice move to change direction, and looks like he was going to get about 2 yards on the play. Instead, he gets about 8. So on the catch there for Jackson is Jaden Brown, and he's going to get out of bounds, stop the clock at 2:53. No, excuse me, the clock's running. They'll spot it at the 40 with second down and about 2 for Jackson.
I thought Jaden got out of bounds there as well. Maybe the clock keeper saying, I've had enough too.
Is it Crowley up there running it again? Drumming it out of the shotgun now. Again, Riley behind him. And he's got two wide, and he fakes the give to Riley, and it's the end-around play that's worked for them well today. Room to run, 50, 40, 30, still on his feet, 20-yard line. No doubt this time Jaden Brown was taken out of bounds. Clock stops at 2:17, and a huge chunk of yardage for the Vikings, and I'm seeing a spot at the 20-yard line in Monroe territory, so a little excitement here late game for the Vikings.
Got some cheers, a little cowbell action from the fans.
And by the way, that's a final now. Hastings 14-13 winners at Lumen Christi tonight, and the Titans now 1-1 after they snatched victory from the jaws of the defeat a week ago. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens when we're there next week to watch them play.
Yeah, play with a little venom, I'm guessing.
Drummond on the end around again this time, and it's going to go for a decent gain out to about the 11. Forward progress might have carried him to the 10. On the carry that time is Dedrick Reed. And Jackson having a little more success now with those plays that are going around the end. I mean, I'm sure they're seeing some second-team defense out there for Monroe, but you like the speed of the outside that Jackson's been able to show here late.
You do, and I enjoy seeing it as well, but it does kind of always make me chuckle because I feel like there's always relatives of players that will say, hey, see, if my kid would have been in there earlier, look what we would have done. And, and here it's second or third string defense, and the intensity's kind of lost.
There's a give on second down to Cortez Stamper, and we get a flag coming out after the play. Had a few of those tonight with a minute 25 to go. We'll see who that gets charged to. That might be one of those that goes against goes against both teams sometimes. It's going to go against Jackson, though. It looks like it's the personal foul symbol there. So Jackson, after a couple nice plays, will push themselves backwards a little bit here with some extracurricular jawing at the end of the play.
Yeah, just those two teams really jawing at each other, Steve.
Yeah, a lot of jawing.
Well, with a minute 18 to go in your Jackson, you would still like to punch this in just to kind of leave with a decent taste. And the kids that are out there that maybe don't get to play as much, it's a big deal to them as well.
And there it goes. Chance for another player to get their name mentioned on the radio tonight, and that's Michael Brown, who we have not seen a lot. He had a few carries last week, just a couple tonight. Able to get a couple yards on that play, and with 51.2, we'll get a timeout from Jackson. 30-second break, and we'll come back here and wrap it up on WKHM.
Now, back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
So out of the timeout, Jackson comes out, and it's Drummond showing off the arm as he passes into the end zone, and that's another touchdown for the Vikings. John Cole on the reception in the end zone. 42-14 now. Jackson with a touchdown brought to you by Aspen 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning. Always on time or you don't pay a dime.
And I'm going to give it to the Jackson High cheerleaders, too, who haven't seemed to lose their enthusiasm yet. Still cheering away. Entertaining the crowd.
The energy level has been welcome. 42-14, Jackson with a two-point try. Drummond out of the shotgun. And Brown's in the backfield with him. He's going to throw again. Gets a man coming across on the slant. Hit him in the hands, but it goes through. Intended on the play was Colin Hoover. Incomplete, and he knows he should have had that one, and he wishes he could try again. But with 47.6, let's take another 30 seconds, and we'll come back with a kickoff on WKHM.
Now, back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
47.6 to play here in this one, 42-14. It's kind of in the books, but it's been fun to watch Jackson kind of play it out and get to see some of these other kids go out and make some moments and maybe make a claim to get a few more of those chances next week.
That's your goal as an athlete. Make it tough on the coaches to keep you off the field. That's your job.
We mentioned that Lumen Christi loses a tight one to Hastings tonight. Western, who looked like they were in control, 28-22. It's a one-score game with 4 minutes to play over there as the kick kind of softly lands at the 37-yard line where Monroe will take over with 47.6 seconds.
Well, we'll see here if Monroe just takes a couple of knees and ends the game that way, or, you know, I have no problem when you're putting in somebody that's a third stringer to go ahead and let them hand the ball off. And, you know, I don't know that you're going to throw any bombs in this situation,
right.
but you got to hand the ball off to somebody that doesn't get a carry. I have no problem with that.
And I just think it means something to those kids who don't always get to get carries to go in, even if it's garbage time. They like to get out on the field. The parents can watch, and, you know, it's something to think about. So, I definitely support that, too. As somebody who, not always, but, you know, at points in my career, I needed garbage minutes off the bench in the hoops court. It wasn't always that way, but there were times in my youth where it was like, yeah, I'll take a garbage minute if I can get it.
Yeah.
So, shotgun here for Boston. He does take the knee.
And he did have Panza in the backfield with him, so I didn't expect necessarily Panza to get one
right.
Carry.
That wasn't going to be anything like what we were describing, potentially some carries for the bench mob. No, they just brought out the guys who got it done all night and let them be on the field here to savor the victory because they're going to run this clock down 42-14. Will be our final here with 19 seconds and another knee. And that's going to do it. Monroe 42-14 winners tonight, and the Vikings, it was turnovers early and they felt behind the whole way, and I guess they just never really got their legs. Dorian Riley still impressive, but didn't explode the way he did against Tecumseh, and I think Monroe had a little more time to prepare and maybe had a little more to offer as far as defense against the Dorian Riley attack.
And again, I think a lot of that just started in the trenches. You know, whether it was offensively or defensively, the line always seemed to be moving toward Monroe's way tonight, which was a little switch from last week.
Win the battle in the trenches, and that often leads to a win on the scoreboard. 42-14, again, our final. We'll take another glance at the out-of-town scoreboard, and we might hang out long enough to see if this Western game goes to a final. But let's take a three-minute break here on the postgame. We'll name our player of the game and set things up for our next broadcast. Again, Monroe 42, the Jackson High School Vikings 14 on WKHM and online at WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
And again, a final here at Jackson High, the Vikings 42-14 lose to Monroe. The Trojans traveled down and had a good game plan and created three turnovers in the first half, got them out to a 28-0 lead, and they never relented. Jackson did have again, Dorian Riley made an appearance and showed us how dynamic he was, but, it felt like the football was in Monroe's hands all night long. They really did consume the clock a lot of the time on offense.
Yeah, they have one of those just clock-eating type of offenses with just, you know, three really good runners, and then even late in the game, a couple guys getting their shot looked pretty good as well.
Yeah.
And with that big line, as you mentioned, a couple of big boys down there, I could see why the line's moving in their direction.
Yeah, they just too much tonight for the Vikings, but the Vikings, they've got some speed and some good things working for them, and I think they'll round into form maybe a little later in the year. It's such a weird season; you don't even know what to attribute things to. Was it an interruption in practice, or you think you have them all ready to go, and then you don't think you're going to play, and then on short notice, you got to turn around and be ready again. So there's a lot of that stuff that just could be an excuse, I suppose. And I'm sure the Vikings don't want to make an excuse. They just want to get back to work and fix it for next week.
Well, and let's face it, too, you're dealing with 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, and you're feeling pretty good about yourselves coming off that Tecumseh win where you definitely did the pushing around,
yep,
and everything came pretty easily to them. So it's pretty easy to feel fat in practice and, you know, feel good and come here against a tough Monroe team. It's a good ball team there, mm-hmm, they went against tonight, and, you know, Monroe did a pushing tonight, so
yeah,
we'll see where that can happen.
It was all execution for Monroe. We mentioned the way Panza runs. He kind of tiptoes a little bit, always moving forward, following a blocker, and he just, you know, he just found a, he would find a seam and he'd take it and he'd eat up. He never broke anything huge, but he always seemed to get a good chunk. And then it was Blosser who would have the big plays for him tonight on the ground. And he made a couple plays through the air, too. So definitely some good performances from Monroe. But I don't like to give our Player of the Game award to somebody from out of town. So when we're doing a game like this, we like to make sure we highlight a Jackson player who we thought had a really great game. And we thought he was the energy leader on the field on the defensive side. Of course, he made his share of tackles and some pretty spectacular plays, including one absolute assault on Lewis that didn't end up being a tackle but was still fun to watch. So our Player of the Game tonight on the defense for Jackson High is Dale Dangler.
Yeah, congratulations, Dale. They said when your team needed some energy, you were trying to provide it for them. I think you're going to have to get more guys on board with that if, you know, when things are starting to look a little down. But it wasn't because of you out there. Some hard hitting. Good job, Dale.
Yeah, and a number of nice defensive players. When you're on the field on the defense as much as they were, you're going to rack up some tackles and some plays. But Dangler stood out head and shoulders above everybody tonight just with his energy, if nothing else. And meanwhile, Dorian Riley, as much as it looked like they kind of held him in check, he has the big play, and we surmise he probably gets over 100 yards again. And this game is still going to add to his legacy at Jackson High. And he, you know, he didn't have much to hang his head about tonight. But again, it was the turnovers, three fumbles in the first half that all ended up in the Monroe Trojans' hands, and that really, it hamstrung the Vikings from there on out. And your offensive, even if you're still running the same game plan, when you go out there at a four score deficit, it's in your head that you need points immediately. It feels that way. So as much as you might tell yourself the way we score is we run these plays, even in the heads of the players, it's like, yeah, but if I need to get a touchdown now, you know, we need it fast.
Yeah, I agree. Jackson doesn't have a team that's necessarily built for a 3 or 4 touchdown comeback.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not their style. And if they fall behind by 21 or something, mm-hmm, they're going to have a hard time coming back from games like that. They're going to have to get out to early leads. That's going to be their success, mm-hmm, formula. So,
yep, a nice opening drive. If they had a nice opening drive that lasted about 15 plays and ended in the end zone and now they're out in front, the day goes differently. And that's obvious to say, I guess, really, but really puts them at a totally different perspective than a quick turnover. And it was really, before you know it, they were down 2 scores,
yep,
right away. And it just felt like then that the quicksand just piled up on them in the first half. So let's take another 3-minute break, and we'll come back and set up things for next week. We'll look at some scores from around the area and continue our broadcast here. High school football on WKHM, brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. They open drains, others can't. Postgame continues after 3 minutes on WKHM.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Again, our final here at Jackson, 42-14 Monroe came into town and got the W. They're heading out on the chartered buses. That's going to be nice. Comfy ride home on a Friday night with a W under your belt. And you get a relaxing Saturday morning, I think, sleep in a little bit, and then get back to the work. Jackson's going to go back to the drawing board, and I know there's probably going to be a few plays, especially those fumbles that those kids are going to kind of wrestle with a little bit over the weekend. But they do have some athletes, and they have some things to correct. And I guess as a coach, you like to have something to work on, and we saw that be an issue last week, but it didn't hurt them in getting the win against Tecumseh. Tonight, those snaps, they'll be working on that all year, it looks like.
Yeah, you know, this is a different season. Since this year, everybody makes the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So these losses aren't quite the same feeling, you know.
Yeah.
Now these losses are more, okay, let's take something through this. What did we learn? What do we need to work on?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, oh, man, now that's going to keep us out of the playoffs.
Right.
So it's definitely a different mindset this year for the coaching staffs, I believe, and the kids. You know, you can't just get down because one loss isn't going to keep you from getting
right.
your ultimate goal. So should be interesting.
Yeah, not until that final elimination loss do you feel like you have nothing to work for. So, yeah, just keep building and improving and finding running lanes for Dorian Riley and make the most of it. Scores from around town that we have finals. Hastings upsets Lumen Christi 14-13 at Lumen Christi tonight with a late score and a two-point conversion to get it done. So that'll be a big celebration out in Hastings tonight. Here our score again, 42-14, the final. On the K105.3 game of the week, BC Penfield hung around and made it close, but Western holds on for the 28-22 win. That's a final now. We had some forfeitures. Northwest canceled tonight. BC Harper Creek gets the win there, 1-0. Ludington tops Michigan Center 1-0 as they had to cancel. And I believe the other was Jonesville with a 1-0 win over Springport.
So are all those forfeit. COVID-related forfeitures?
Yeah, I believe
yeah.
so, yeah.
Yep.
Clinton, at our last check, was holding a 21-0 advantage over Columbia Central. Grass Lake in a final 48-14 win over East Jackson at home. Out there in lovely Grass Lake, a nice place to call home. Our one score update, Blissfield had a 14-0 lead over Hillsdale. Chelsea, this is a final over, at Ypsilanti Lincoln and the Bulldogs 37-7 win over the Rail Splitters.
But Imani Bates still scored 25.
He doesn't even go there anymore.
But he still could. That's how impressive he is.
Dexter 54-0 at Adrian at the last update we had.
Dreadnoughts.
So, yeah. So there's some finals from around the area. We'll get as many scores as we can get in tomorrow during Sports Saturday here at WKHM from 9 to 10. Join us for the Jamie McKibben Outdoor Show from 10 to 11. And, again, that's the programming here tomorrow. One more two-minute commercial break, and we'll come back and wrap up the broadcast and tell you where we'll be next week and where you can hear great high school football on WKHM, WKHM.com.
Now back to high school football on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes here at Withington Stadium, looking down as the lights are still on, shining on Dungy Field. They're on this side, but not the other side. But it's still a nice scenery. I almost want to go down there and run some sprints just to. Then I remember how winded I was from walking up the bleachers, and I changed my mind.
We say that all the time, that we have a nice, you know, turf field to look at. One of these days we will.
Yeah. We'll bring a football and
yeah.
maybe throw some passes down on the field until they kick us out. Right now it doesn't look like anyone can get out of the parking lot. There's not that many people here. They're used to a much larger crowd than this, but everyone's slow to leave tonight. And it looks like Monroe hasn't even gotten on the bus yet. Anyway, fun night tonight, and despite the loss, Jackson will rebound, and they'll be back in action next week on the road at Pinckney. Now, this is a Pinckney team that took Monroe to the limit, so Jackson's going to have to play well on the road to try to get a W next week.
Yeah, this was a wake-up call. To the Vikings.
I think they're up to the challenge. I think they will answer the call.
I do too.
Meanwhile, Monroe will host Saline next week, and they'll look to move to 3-0 on that one. Jackson finishes 1-1 now at the end of the night. Still no league loss because that's technically the SEC red tonight, so they're undefeated in their conference. I think that's true of the Trojans as well. They're undefeated no matter what conference we're talking about. Our next game, Brian, and I'm excited to go over to Lumen Christi hosting Harper Creek. So the Titans, I don't know what to expect. You know, normally you expect to go in basically until the postseason. I expect to go watch Lumen pummel someone, but now they seem to be human.
Yeah, after the near miss last week, I kind of thought, well, Hastings might have to be the recipient of their anger.
Yeah.
But didn't turn out that way, so next week should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I look forward to it anyway. They've got a lovely new field and set up over there at Lumen Christi. Of course, they have a rabid fan base. And, of course, you can't overlook the state championships and all the history over there at Lumen. And for years and years that I've been doing football games, and now even a couple years for you, we never get to see Lumen Christi because GLC and Ranch would be there. So now we get to go and actually look at the Titans play. And not the Titans that you're used to walking in with swagger and walking out victorious. And this will be one of those seasons that Herb Rogan will have to do one of his more difficult coaching jobs, I think.
Yeah. It sounds like Herb has his hands full this year.
Yeah, so, yeah, exciting for that. We'll be, again, kickoff about 7 o'clock a week from now, and it'll be the same broadcast team, just from a different location, but as far as you're concerned, the location is 970 AM, 101.5 FM, online at WKHM.com, and those of you with those Alexa devices can tell your Alexa speaker to play News Talk 970, and she knows what to do. So a lot of ways to listen. Thanks to Keith Richards in studio tonight and our full team of sponsors, including our presenting sponsor, Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning.